This is probably the first year that I actually kind of lost some sleep because, you know, when you know it's your last year, you know, I knew I was 23 votes away, and I was hoping that all the guys that voted for me last year would continue to vote for me, and I could get the extra 23 to get in. And it seems like I got a little more than that, but I'm a happy young man.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Our baseball analyst, Andy Mazur, has just stepped to the studio with us. It is it's the call to the hall day, as Kevin Powell's been reporting all day here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very,
Thanks.
Very well. Good. And Tim Raines makes it to the Baseball Hall of Fame, makes it to Cooperstown.
Yep, in his final year of eligibility. And, you know, the problem with some of these guys is that you see get in later in their career is that they're in an era where there's guys that are comparable to them, they kind of get lost. I mean, this is a guy, Rock Raines, who is one of the best leadoff hitters in all of baseball. But he comes around in an era that has Ricky Henderson, who is probably the all-time greatest leadoff hitter to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get lost in the shuffle. I mean, you look at Raines' numbers on his own. I think I was reading today, he's the only player in baseball history, I think, with 1,300 walks and 800 stolen bases. There's a stat around there that he's an elite.
Yes.
But he was stuck in Montreal, too,
sure,
for all those years.
Right. Did they take that into consideration, though, that it's your final year? How much is that weighed in the whole scheme of things?
You know, you think it might be more for guys like that, but the voting is so, it's so strange because Baseball Writers of America, Association of America, they're the ones that vote. There are 650-some-odd members that have either are current members of covering a team or have covered a team in less than 10 years. So they're less than 10 years away from baseball. But there are some guys that are just so arrogant that they don't turn it up. They turn it a ballot, but it's blank.
What?
Because they just don't feel like anybody's worthy of being in this elitist, you know, Hall of Fame. And it really hurts some guys because today, Trevor Hoffman, 74%.
Jeez.
You need 75% for election. You needed 337 votes and he got 332.
Wow.
So you think about two guys didn't turn it about. They turned it about with nobody on it.
It's like the election.
And you can vote for multiple, right?
You can vote for up to 10.
Up to 10.
Andy, that Raines stat you were alluding to,
yeah, which one?
800-plus stolen bases, 1,300-plus walks, and 100-plus triples. Only guy ever in Major League history
to
do that.
So, I mean, he's elite. This is a guy that should have been in a long time ago. But again, you know, you get lumped into eras, and there's a lot of guys like Bagwell, who gets in today, comes out of the quote-unquote steroids era.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of guys that thought that maybe Ivan Pudge Rodriguez, who gets in on the first ballot, may have been a guy that used. It's very selective and subjective in those respects. Guys like Curt Schilling went down from last year to this year, which is fine by me. And guys,
okay,
and guys like McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, and Clemens went up a little bit. Sosa went down, but Clemens and Bonds went up a little bit.
So there's momentum on their side. Or go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, that was my question was to you, Andy. Would you vote for a guy like Clemens or Bonds?
See, here's the thing. You kind of have to. I was watching a lot of MLB Network today.
You're not a voting member.
I'm not a voting member.
No, but if you could, if you had,
but
one,
if I could vote for them at this particular point, I would say I would. And I know it's kind of not a popular opinion on things, but here's the deal. There was absolutely no testing for steroids while they played, or at least until later in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
They were already Hall of Famers in my book by the time that all came around and came about.
Well, but the difference between testing and taking are
correct.
Different. I mean, it was so easy. I mean, Mark McGuire was like Thor.
Exactly.
Right?
So the same way.
Yeah.
Palmeiro the same way.
And Jeff Bagwell admitted to using a substance that is now banned at the time it was
he did.
Not.
Right.
He just got inducted.
And I think there's a lot of sentiment for the guys that actually did come out and say, yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of get that over with, and you think to yourself, okay, well, there's this morals clause kind of thing where a lot of people are looking at, well, it's morally wrong. Okay, first of all, there was no testing. There were ownership and Bud Selig, who gets in on the Veterans Committee, was the commissioner at the time. So, I mean, you put two and two together, and you think, okay, well, who knows who was paying attention to what is coming off the heels of the strike where baseball attendance was down. And there was a need to kind of jumpstart the game.
Sure.
And I think that obviously is something that hasn't been proven, but there's a lot of theories about it that's why. But the balloting to me is still just, it's very strange. And they've cut it down now where they're taking away votes for guys that have been away from the game for 10 years, for writers who are covering other sports or have retired because they don't get the full glimpse of watching the younger players and the current players.
Yeah.
There was a stat, too, that was on MLB Network today that talked about the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. The lowest percentage of guys that are in the Hall of Fame are from those three decades. Hmm. And it's inexplicable. I mean, Jim Rice, who got in a couple of years ago, was on the 15th and final year of his eligibility. They've since cut that down from 15 years down to 10. And they also eliminate people who did not get 5% of the vote in their first time out.
Are the real estate values around Cooperstown too big now? Is that the problem? They don't want to expand the hall?
Yeah.
And it's like, we're kind of running out of room.
Stingy?
But, you know, it's weird because like the last 2 years there have been more than two each time. And it's kind of unheard of because, again, these are people that don't vote for Hall of Fame guys that had careers in the first year of the balloting. Because some writer thinks that they're not deserving of it in their first year.
Well, baseball's wacky that way. Baseball's very, very
It's elitist. I mean, there's a lot of stats.
And it's such a deadlock now where you do have these progressive baseball guys who look at advanced numbers.
Well, that may have helped Reigns.
Yeah, exactly. But there also is the curmudgeon-y guy who's been writing about baseball for 30 or 40 years and only looks at average home runs and memory of them covering themselves. So I think there's a real deadlock and headbutting there with the baseball writers of America.
Back in my day.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously,
we wanted a guy who could drink a beer and knock in. And we called him RBIs, too. We didn't call him ribbies or rebobs. You people can all go stuff it.
Because you know, back in that day of the curmudgeon-y sports writer, you could tell. Hall of Famer was 500 home runs.
Right.
Was a career average of 300. Was a guy that drove in maybe 1,000 runs.
Yeah, we liked it.
A pitcher that won 300 games. Pitcher that struck out 3,000. It was easy. I mean, that was the defining moments.
It was just benchmarks. And now it's inexcusable for baseball writers now to just ignore some of these advanced stats. When anybody who's a baseball fan can log online and compare to players in certain eras. You know what I mean? So I don't know why
Sabermetrics changed the whole thing.
Sabermetrics did.
But it gives you a lot clearer picture of where a guy stands, not only statistically, but also in his era, which I think needs to be factored in. You know, how did he play? Where was he ranked in the best first baseman of his era? The best third baseman of his era? How is he relative to his peers? I think that matters. And you can easily look that up now online.
It's interesting you bring that out, too, because when I was working in San Diego and Ron Santo was still not in the Hall of Fame, I happened to walk up to Tony Gwynn at the time. And I printed off, from Baseball Reference, I printed off Brooks Robinson's stats and Ron Santo's stats. I deleted the names from the top.
So it's third baseman.
And I
played over that period.
And I walked up to Tony and I gave him the two sheets of paper. And I said, which one of these guys is in the Hall of Fame and which guy is not? And he was like, they both should be. I'm like, okay, you made my point. Some writers have something.
Now get the hell away from me.
Exactly.
Is that also what he said?
Quit bothering me, kid. Get out of here. Go back to Chicago.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. What's your name again? Do you have a credential? Get out of here.
He's talking smart over here.
But, you know, there are some writers that have grudges against certain guys that, you know, maybe didn't treat them well when they were playing. You know, there's all sorts of things that go into this, but it just seems to me to be inexcusable and a derelict of duty if you don't vote for 10 or if you don't vote for any. I mean, I'm okay. I guess I could say I'm okay with 5 or 6 or 7 because you've seen most of these guys play. But to be so arrogant as to return a ballot with no check marks on it, I mean, what are you trying to prove?
So now as you look at this class, who else do you think? Trevor Hoffman.
Vladimir Guerrero was another surprise, I think, that a lot of people thought was going to get in. He was 15 votes short today.
Ooh.
But he's got a couple years left, right?
He's got. It was his first year, so he's going to be around. But you know, it gets a little crowded. You know, you look at some of the guys that are on the ballot for the first time next year: Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, among some guys that'll get some consideration. Johan Santana pitched a couple of no hitters during his career. You know, Jamie Moyer. How are people going to look at Jamie Moyer? I don't think he's a Hall of Fame pitcher, but the guy pitched for 50 years. You know what I mean? So what are you going
to
do?
My day, we used to call her.
Exactly.
Everyone had a nickname like Whitey or Red or Blackie.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess the best part of the whole thing is that it spurs a little debate and gets baseball fans' blood boiling in January.
Yeah.
In cold weather cities, looking forward to spring training. But there's still.
I just like this year because what I like this day every year because you go back and you think about. your, although I'm getting to the point where these are no longer my childhood stars.
Me too.
These are sort of my middle aged stars. But it's, but you know, you go back and you think about ways that you would watch that player, whatever it was. And for me, Tim Raines was always an expo. You know, that was to me where it, the same thing with Andre Dawson. You had two guys who were two of the best baseball players of their era.
Right.
And they were playing up in Montreal with
fans. And on the same team. Yeah.
Right. With
Gary Carter.
Yeah. With Gary Carter. Mm-hmm. And with fans that were like, hey, what is happening on the field?
Exactly.
They always thought they were...
Where is Yuppie, the mascot?
Right. I always kind of thought of the Montreal fans, and by the way, Tim Raines does thank them in his thank you email today, or his thank you post. But, you know, there was... It seemed like a lot of Montreal fans realized about three innings in that they were at the wrong stadium. That they, oh, this is not... What is this game?
Where's the ice?
Yeah. So it is... I give them a ton of credit for being as good as they were in that. And we saw, you know, as a Cubs fan, we saw the Expos, you know, all the time, right? And at least, so it was like one of those, you know, it was just constantly either going up there or coming back. I hated indoor baseball. It just drove me nuts.
Did you ever see a game out there?
I'd never been to the stadium. I've been to the stadium, but not while a game is going on. I've been to the, because it was Olympic Park.
Okay,
right?
Olympic Stadium from 76 Olympics. Yeah. We were there in 04, which was the last year of the Expos. And that was the first time I'd ever been in that place. And it was awful.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it was built in that era of old school 1970s.
Just
domed,
terrible.
You know. And it did feel, it was, and it also not the cool part of that Olympic Village, Olympic part of New Montreal.
A little bit off the beaten path.
Not the cool part of Montreal. Mm-hmm. But it is. Again, these were great baseball players, and to me, it was a very fun era. So I'm happy when this happens, it's gonna be very interesting in 10, 15 years, how many Cubs from this era,
it's a good
are
going
to be talked about.
How exciting will that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's legit to think about, especially with the start to the career that Chris Bryant's had for himself. Just the
Kyle
fact
Hendricks,
win an ERA title, you know, guys. Like Arrieta and Lester. I mean, and again, you know, the bar, and I don't mean
Lester goes in though as a Red Sox.
Yeah, I don't mean to say this as a bad thing, but you know, the bar gets lowered a little bit with the numbers that you have to hit these days because there's more competition now. There's more teams. And guys have to pitch a little longer to make these numbers because you're in 5-man rotations as opposed to 4 when 300 innings was not unheard of at that point. Now it's like
and everybody
you get to 200 and they throw you a party. Right.
Yeah.
You know, you get to 200 and they're like, they're cheering.
Wait a minute, there was one reliever and he came in once a month.
They went three innings for saves. Three innings for a save.
Yeah.
You know, and three pitches now and you get a save out of it. Yeah. But, you know, hey, that's, you can only play under the rules that that are set forth when you know, and the type of game that's going on. And, you know, I don't think they got it wrong with any of the three guys they put in today. I think they could have had at least a couple more that could have gotten in today.
Hey, let me ask you something really fast before we go, and we got about a minute. Yep. So, go fast.
Okay,
San Diego. You are a broadcaster in San Diego,
yes.
And now the Chargers.
Yeah.
No moving company wants to move the Chargers up to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Are the Chargers going to be? Are they going to be adopted by?
No.
LA.
Nope. There's not a fan base there. There's not a fan base north of Orange County. For the Chargers, for them to move was absolutely ludicrous. It was greed and stadium.
But why would the NFL be okay? I don't understand.
They're really not, but I don't think they had much of a choice as far as the Chargers complaining so much about their stadium, which, you know, is kind of a dump. I get where they're coming from, but to try to put the taxpayers on the hand for $1.25 billion with a B,
in
a
San
referendum
Diego,
that got
smaller.
Smoked at the polls during November,
right? It's very conservative.
There was no chance that was going to happen, and it kind of gave the ownership a convenient excuse. L.A. doesn't want the team, the Chargers and San Diego don't want them back. They're going to be playing in if everything looks the way it looks, they're going to be playing in a 30,000-seat arena for the next 2 years.
Yeah. Soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly the way you draw it up.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck out there.
Yeah, the San Diegans are not happy. Let's put it out. They have one major team now, and that's the Padres. And they haven't won anything in a long time.
Yeah. Well, they've got a cool stadium, though.
Yeah, that's a great stadium.
Yeah.
Petco Park's awesome.
All right, we're at the mercy of the clock now. So, Andy, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Good
Andy
to see you guys.
Mazur, who is our baseball editor of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.